Let's sit down with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB. It's time for our regular weekly catch-up on all that's going on at RNIB, and we've got some big topics and a big thank you, I think, to say as well, harking back to the London Marathon. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
No, hello, Alan. A lot going on at RNIB, so plenty to talk about.
Exactly. We're under starter's orders, and I suppose we should really start with the See the Person, Not the Sight loss. This is a major campaign and a very visible campaign as well.
It's See the Person, Not the Sight loss, and we launched the advert for that campaign at the end of Coronation Street, and it's now, you know, across a variety of channels and various advert breaks. We'll be in cinemas near you. And also, you know, we're using a lot of the material through various social media channels to push not only the campaign, but also to, you know, chunk bits of the campaign up and make particular individual messages. And as the title suggests, See the Person, Not the Sight loss. What we're trying to do is get society to really understand what it means to be blind and partially sighted, really understand that people can be very active, complete members of society, fully contributing, and should be seen as such. You know, what they shouldn't be seen as is sort of pigeonholed by any sense that visual impairment is limiting or restricting. And the story in the main ad tells the story of Ava, who's a girl at school who develops a sight condition and, you know, has a moments of despair, but then, you know, through support that the RNIB and others can provide, realizes that actually, you know, she can have a completely full life, and goes on to show how with friends, you know, through accessing materials, through technology, ultimately in terms of landing a job, how society can really work for blind and partially sighted people. So, you know, we're really, really pleased with it. It's landed really well from launch with some very nice responses. And I think particularly what we've really welcomed is how many visually impaired people have really said that is so authentic, you know, it's so real, it absolutely represents my story. And we put a lot of effort into making sure it was genuine, authentic, a lot of insight from our customers. It's early days, but we're really pleased with how it's started this week.
It's a very emotional advert as well, you know, seeing it from the actor's perspective in the advert. You know, it really shows almost the devastation that people can feel when they get that diagnosis of sight loss, and you know, it's the everyday things they notice they start that they can't do anymore, you know. And I think part of it for me as well is reach out, look for help, as well as showing wider society that it doesn't mean that, you know, life ends. In fact, it probably for some, I think it begins in just a different pathway.
No, I think you're right. I think the advert works on a number of levels. As I said, we've taken quite a long time to do this, and actually it's given us time to get a lot of input and insight from a variety of customers, our beneficiaries, from our internal teams who work on welfare, who work on employment, yeah, work on mental health. We work with Samaritans on it and got their input. So, yeah, it works on a number of levels. I think it shows that sense of jeopardy and anger and frustration and slight helplessness, but equally it shows that there is support. And it also shows that society can and should work for blind and partially sighted people who should be fully, you know, participating, contributing, cherished, you know, members of society, you know, whether that's in education, employment, using technology, transport, all the things that the advert talks to. So ultimately it ends on a very uplifting message, I think, of the character Ava coming through and actually starting to show that life can work. Ends quite enigmatically, actually. I'm quite pleased how it ends. I think it doesn't make the point that in one bound Jack was free type thing. It does show it's hard. It's not easy. And people like the RNIB and other organisations need to be there to support, but also to champion and to make society change. And you know, this advert is about us getting society to change, you know, whether that is shifting perceptions. So when people encounter blind and partially sighted people in normal everyday scenarios, they know how to act, they don't feel awkward or strange, and they absolutely get that blind and partially sighted people should be treated absolutely the same as anybody else. But also working on things we've touched on before, closing the education gap, making sure blind and partially sighted kids come out of school with the same chances as sighted kids, you know, getting more blind and partially sighted people into work, breaking down some of the misconceptions that employers would have about not being able to recruit and support blind and partially sighted people in certain roles, showing that technology is a massive enabler and that actually it can unlock a whole ton of challenges that level the playing field. So plenty of work to do, but we're very pleased with how it's landed.
Yeah, we'll give you contact details later, including the RNIB website. You can get more information on See the Person, Not the Sight Loss. Lots of different versions of the advert as well, out on TV and social media and the cinemas, as Matt said. And I'm looking forward to October the 14th when it'll be discussed on Gogglebox. Right, a few more topics to look at, Matt. Let's go to the Visionary Conference, which just took place quite recently.
Yeah, last week. So Visionary is the sort of umbrella body that brings together a lot of the local societies up and down the UK. There's over 100 sort of county societies and urban societies who work in one particular location, quite small societies, and they come together under the Visionary umbrella, and they had their conference. So the RNIB have been helping on a variety of things, and I was invited to go to run a session on the second day for an hour in a plenary session, which was talking to what we're doing as a VI sector. And we might have touched on this in previous interviews, Alan, but we're part of 8 organisations that come together within the VI sector. So there's ourselves, Guide Dogs, Thomas Pocklington Trust, Blind Vets, Glaucoma, Retina, Macular and Visionary, working together on some common themes. And we came together really through COVID to codify that relationship and sort of our crisis response in COVID. And we developed some streams of work around things like employment, around the eye health pathway in the NHS. And we're doing some work around technology and welfare and mental health. And it's been a really good vehicle, I think, for connections across the sector to be sort of established and maintained, and for the sector to work much better.
We are going to talk about the London Marathon very shortly, Matt, but I know you wanted to discuss mentoring first.
Well, you know, we try and do inside the RNIB is make it a great place to work, develop talent, give people opportunity, broaden horizons, encourage people to get the sort of heads up from the day job occasionally and look up and out and see what else is going on, be inquisitive, all those sorts of things. And mentoring is a great opportunity for that to happen. We're in a group with about 10 charities, some in our space, like TPT, Thomas Pocklington Trust, others in different parts of the charity sector, like Scope and Sense, for example. And so there's 10 of us come together to sort of run this scheme whereby people get hooked up either to be a mentor, to give some guidance and help, or a mentee, you know, to look for someone to provide a bit of a sounding board. I did it last year. I had a guy from Sense who I was connected with. Clearly, it's quite confidential and objective. It's no one in your organisation. It's not your line manager, so you can talk openly and candidly about things, challenges and problems you've got that you might feel a bit awkward about in the workplace, maybe, and just get that external perspective. So I think it's a really good thing that we're involved in, encourage as many people as possible to take part. Last year, we had 150 pairings in it, so 300 people participated, and we're hoping for more this year. And I just think, you know, as a good charity, you know, that's bothered about the welfare of our people, encouraging them to do this sort of thing and make those external connections is really important. So just wanted to sort of mention it to you this week.
Indeed. Now, the streets of London were full of people walking, running, in costume, in groups. It was the London Marathon, a successful one again this year, and RNIB had some runners in there raising funds and some staff members taking part as well.
Yeah, well, this time last year, it was 3 or 4 days after the marathon last year, which I'd done at home virtually, walking around it in about 6 hours, and I felt dreadful for the week after. So this year, I'm enjoying not maybe feeling that dreadful. But, you know, we are, as ever, indebted to those people that ran it for us this year. We had over 1,885 people ultimately ran it. So far, I think the clock's ticking up to about £130,000 raised by those 80, and I'm sure that'll get a bit bigger before the dust settles. So look, brilliant that we had so many. We had some real friends and you know, the RNIB. So some of it's gone viral. There was a guy called Jack and his guide runner Joe, and sister of Jack has put something on TikTok, which has gone viral with about 65,000 likes and 500,000 views, which is great for Jack and his guide runner, but also great for us as the RNIB that sort of coverage, you know, can be generated from something like the London Marathon in addition to the fundraising. As you said, we had a couple of staff members running in London this year. So Chris Simpson from our OD team and our customer experience manager, Dave Williams. Dave's blind and running with a guide. And Dave did a brilliant time, actually, just over 4 hours, 4 hours and 2 minutes. And Chris did a very respectable 4:23. So they should both be inordinately proud of their efforts, and a big thank you from me publicly, if you're listening, to those of you who came along to support. We had a few volunteers, about 15-20 volunteers out helping on the day and manning some of the stands as they went round, and we had an after-run party at the Institute of Directors, and one of my colleagues, David Clark, sort of turned up to welcome the runners, who thoroughly deserved it. I think the only thing, Ellen, now is for us to try and become the sort of charity partner of the London Marathon. Maybe something on our radar to do. I think it was the British Heart Foundation this year, so we've talked to them a bit in the last few years, getting a bit closer. So you know, we'll continue that conversation. Hopefully, we can become the charity partner in the not too distant future. But you know, great effort last weekend from all who ran for the RNIB.
Indeed, yeah. Big, big thank you guys for doing that. I really do take my hat off to you for the endurance that takes. And if you'd like more details on any of the topics we've been discussing, including the new campaign, See the Person, Not the Sight Loss, it is fantastic. Do check that one out. Go to rnib.org.uk. If you want to speak to anyone on our helpline, lots of info, lots of help there. They're a great bunch. Call them on 0303 123 9999. If you have an Amazon Echo device, you can also ask Lady A to call RNIB's helpline. Time has caught up with us once again, Matt. Thank you for joining us, and we'll catch up with you next week.
No, my pleasure, Alan, and great to be able to talk about so many positive things in the RNIB at the moment, which is a real testimony to the team delivering a lot of stuff we planned. So delighted we can talk about all those things with you on Connect Radio. Thank you for having me.